Welcome, everybody. My name is Jenny Friedman. I'm an ADHD coach and the host of the show.
Yeah, we need a lot more people talking about ADHD because it's
invisible.
If you had a pair of glasses that can make you see the invisible, what would ADHD look like?
If you're wondering right now where your glasses are, you're probably in the right place.
This show has a mission.
Demystify and destigmatize ADHD once and for all.
Stuff isn't rocket science, people. Welcome to the show, Eric, my friend from high school, Eric Wilhelm.
Yo, yo, yo.
So the reason why I suggested you come on the show is just because what was really cute when I said, oh, you want to be on my podcast? Eric says, yeah, but what would be my, like, what's the relationship with ADHD? And I'm like, didn't you tell me you had it? And he was like, oh, doesn't everybody say that? And I thought, you know what? That's actually a really good aspect that we could talk about.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Because actually, no, a lot of people don't say that. But you know what? Enough people say that I think it's a good thing to talk about.
Right.
Probably the people that have it won't find it very funny. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not a funny thing, but it's worth a conversation because the truth is a lot of people have it and are undiagnosed.
Right. Yep.
And a lot of people, like I'm one, who things will happen to me that my friends with ADHD say, are you sure you don't have it? I'm like, no, I'm really sure I don't have it. But because there's questions surrounding it and surrounding if you have it or if you don't have it, like it can be something people say, oh, how ADD, you know, how ADD of me or something, and not realizing that there's a difference.
Right.
Right. But you have family members with it.
Well, just my son is the only one who's actually been diagnosed with
it.
Okay. Yes. But I know a lot of people. That tends to be the go-to thing when people talk about how they can't get anything done. They'll say, "Oh my God, I must have ADHD, or I probably have ADHD." It always cracks me up that's sort of the go-to. It's up there with people just saying, "Oh, my life is so busy these days. Oh, it's so hard to get anything done." And then it inevitably goes, "I must have ADHD. I just can't focus on any one thing."
Right. Right. So, right. And so,
what does that speak to? Is it something about the way our lives are led now? Is it?
Well, yeah. And you know, I do think that's some of what is going on with these like non-believing people. Like there's actually people who don't believe, they say they don't believe in ADHD,
right,
which blows my mind because this is not, it's sad. Like, I don't think that it should be a question of if it exists or not, but because of it being qualities that everyone has, like everyone attends to things or loses attention or focus.
Right.
Or focus. I mean, these aren't just aspects that, you know, people experience. Hyperactivity is not something that everyone experiences. However, if you have ADHD, you can outgrow the physical hyperness as you mature. So.
Right.
But your mind gets the racy mind still.
Right. Yep.
So yeah, there's a lot going on. So I thought what might be sort of fun to do with you is to use you as a guinea pig. And I want to put in the disclaimer, I am not a doctor and I'm not a diagnostician and I cannot tell someone if they have ADHD or not. Okay.
Right.
So that being said, there are self-reports that are out online that the doctors use some of the tools like this.
Mm-hmm.
This one's called the Adult ADHD Self-Report Scale. You can pull it up right off the internet. But I thought it'd be interesting to go over this and see how someone, because you don't know if you have it or not, you're thinking you don't really have it, but it does run in your family. So there's a chance you could have it.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of people like you. I think there's a lot of people like you that we don't know.
Right. Question mark over our heads.
Yes. And when we're done with this, we still won't know.
Right.
But we will have...
We'll have an inkling.
Maybe. I'm going to start with... It's 18 questions.
Okay.
Okay. So the first one is, how often do you have trouble wrapping up the final details of a project once the challenging parts have been done?
Ooh, yeah.
And here's your answers. You have these choices.
Okay.
Never, rarely, sometimes, often, very often.
I would probably go with often. If I think about it, that's definitely trying to think. I know that's a thing that comes into my head. Like there's the fun part of a project. And then when you get down to the...
So the fun part is no problem. And then you're like...
Right. Like, oh, now I got to do the rest of this. Okay. Unless the last part is the fun part. Then you're lucky.
Right. Usually people tackle the fun part first. That's the reason they start something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it gets like, oh, I didn't realize it was all this.
Although, now thinking on this, and I hope I'm not putting too much into this, but I realize that I now, because I know that that's a thing, I will save the fun part for last, or I'll try to go ahead and get through the part I don't like, because I know that if I save it for last, I'm going to be...
So wow. You're strategic.
Yeah. I know myself.
That's good. Number two, how often do you have difficulty getting things in order when you have to do a task that requires organization?
I'm trying to think of an example task. It's funny, the first thing that comes to mind is
taxes.
Packing for a vacation.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But taxes, wow, that's funny. I haven't done my own taxes in a while now. But maybe that's why. Or like balancing your checkbook. I can't stand doing that.
Right. Well, so what about packing for a vacation? Because you got kids. There's a lot to organize.
I'm trying to think of something that has an order to it. Of a process, an ordered process. Wait, that was the question, right? Of
how often do you have difficulty getting things in order?
Right.
When you have to do something that requires organization.
Right. I'm trying to think of a good example of that. I'm looking around trying to see if anything comes to mind.
Thinking about of getting ready for vacation and you have to get things in order. I mean, is it easy for you or is it difficult?
I also realize with that, for me, it's not so much about getting things in order. It's just a matter of getting it started. I think I do the classic thing where I wait till the absolute last minute where there's nothing else. Like, this has to be done now or never. Like, is there something else I can do first? Oh, cool. Let me go do that. I'll pack when it absolutely has to be done. So I don't know if that necessarily addresses this question, though. This is more.
Well, so you feel like you need a little urgency in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get it done.
Stuff so, like that, yeah.
We could say sometimes because it's in the middle.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
I know. I'm still trying to think of something like a good example of something that involves sequencing or getting things in order.
How about when you were in school and you had to turn, like do a project?
Yeah. Yeah. The main thing that comes to mind with that is, again, just being waiting to the last minute.
Yeah, I used to do that too.
Yeah, everybody would go, okay, there's absolutely no more time. Okay, I guess I'll do it now. But yeah, so the sequencing thing, I'm not too sure. I can't really think of anything. So this one might have to be, what is it again? It's never, and then what's the next?
There's never, rarely, sometimes, often, or very often.
So unless I'm just not thinking of anything, I might have to put rarely in this one.
Well, we'll put rarely then.
Okay.
Okay. How often do you have problems remembering appointments or obligations?
Yeah, I'm not too good with that either. I have a...
You forget a lot?
Yeah, with me, it's more like I have a weird aversion to putting them down, even in a calendar. Like even now on my phone, my wife and I share a calendar, so we'll know when things are going on. You know, either one of us puts something in the calendar and it shows up on the other ones. So we're always aware of, oh, this is going on. I didn't know she was doing that.
Right. So that's good. Again, that could be
that's actually been a good saver. Since then, it's been easier. But before that little technological advance, I was terrible.
So you would say often?
Yeah, yeah.
Or not very often.
I say were it not for technology, I would say often, yeah.
Yeah, I know you have technology, but what if you didn't have the phone?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, so I would probably say often.
Okay. All right. When you have a task that requires a lot of thought. How often do you avoid or delay getting started?
It depends on what the task is. Again, there's that interest level. Like, I actually love to put IKEA furniture together.
Oh, me too.
Yes.
I do.
I love figuring, I just love getting it. But if it's something like just today, when I said I was up to my knees in mud, we have had our backyard reshaped. And now it's a bunch of mud back there and we have to plant grass, but we're going to put these bricks in a shape around it. But it's been raining and the dirt is all clay-y now and it's hard to get it to do it. I had to make this little path for these bricks and I hated it. I didn't want to do it at all.
So did you sort of avoid and delay?
Well, yeah, I just sat there looking at it, trying to think of a system. Like, okay, what's a good system here? I like to have a system down to do something. I hate when it's ambiguous and I don't know, how am I supposed to get this done? So I don't know if I'm answering the right question with this or not.
It's how often do you avoid or delay getting started? I guess that's speaking. Yeah. Do you procrastinate?
I do. I do when there's not an obvious way
to do something.
When there's an obvious way, like mow the yard. Oh, I love that. That's, you see your results, you know how it's done. Cool. But if it's something like, okay, go do this thing that.
Well, that's what they're saying. They're saying that requires a lot of thought, like
right.
mowing a lawn.
Yeah,
I hope does not require a lot of thought.
Right.
On your part. How often, I guess it's never, rarely, sometimes, often, or very often.
I guess sometimes.
Yeah. Okay.
I hope I'm not making this go way too longer than it's supposed to.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
How often do you fidget or squirm with your hands or feet when you have to sit down for a long time?
Oh, I'd say often on that one. My wife hates it. I have the, she's always putting her hand on my leg at the table to stop it from going up and down.
How often do you feel overly active and compelled to do things like you were driven by a motor?
I wish I had that more often now.
Must do now.
Is that one more about physical aspect of having to be moving or just having to be doing things?
Probably the hyperactivity is what it's speaking to. Yeah. Like the constant, like you can't just veg.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That one would have to be the one below sometime. That one's not too
much. Rarely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. How often do you make careless mistakes when you have to work on a boring or difficult project?
I would say if it's boring, I would say often.
Okay. How often do you have difficulty keeping your attention when you are doing boring or repetitive work?
Yeah, I would say often.
My brain
starts to wander to entertain myself.
So interest is a huge driving force for you.
Yeah.
How often do you have difficulty concentrating on what people say to you? Even when they're speaking directly to you. Eric.
Oh, a pony.
Right.
Well, it's funny. The thing I notice with myself is that I'll be thinking about the fact that I'm listening to someone talk and my brain will start going on all these weird tangents and I'll realize that I'm doing that. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. This person's talking to me and I'm sitting here thinking about
anything else.
Well, not even that, or even just thinking about a person or just something. You know, it's like my brain wants to go, shut up, just listen.
So that's often?
Yes. I would good, but often.
Okay. How often do you misplace or have difficulty finding things at home or at work?
Oh, I think, did we mention, talk about this? My thing is, I know where things are, but they're not in a place that makes sense to anyone else.
Oh, that's right. You said, that was the sample question.
Yeah.
And
it's
you
like,
said,
oh, I know where that is. That's behind the couch. And, well, what's the spatula doing behind the couch? Well, that's just where I remember seeing it.
Isn't that where you keep your spatula?
Yeah. I don't know why it's there, but I just remembered seeing it.
So it sounds like you don't forget where things are.
I just don't. There doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason to where I put them. This is another one that drives my wife crazy. She goes, why is this here? I put it down there. I was finished and I went to do this other thing.
Well, see, that was me Always. And I still am that way. I drive my husband nuts. My mom used to call me Drops at Jenny. Wherever, if I'm done with it, I would set it down and, I'm done with it.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And I said to my husband, I know it's there.
Right.
And I know when he moves things, I'm like, no, I left that here. Like for a reason, but sort of this reason that no one but me understands.
My wife is all like, well, why are your shoes here in the... And I was like, oh, I was going to move those. Like, I'll put things down and then I'll probably go off and do something else with the intent of coming back and dealing with the other thing. Nowadays, usually my wife will swoop in first and, what is this doing here?
I'm like, oh, I was right. So I don't know if that's misplacing.
Right. Yeah. It's
because misplacing is like I set my keys down and now I need to leave in the car, but I can't find my keys.
Right. So, and that happens occasionally. And I'll generally start my search of all the usual places that I tend to leave them and find them pretty easily. It's just, okay, which one did I put those, on my dresser or on the thing by the door or.
Right. Yeah. They're not like magically in the refrigerator or something.
Right. Yeah. So it's not like I put them somewhere weird. It's usually just a matter of figuring out which one of the usual suspects.
Right. So when it says, how often do you misplace things? Is that sometimes?
I guess.
Okay. Number 11, Seabrook Trucking. Here we go. Yeah. How often are you distracted by activity or noise around you?
There's a garbage truck out there.
There you go. Actually,
there is a garbage truck out there. That's funny. I was laughing right as you said that. There was a noise outside. I was like, what
and
is
you looked. So very often?
I would say often. But okay. Yeah, I was thinking about distracted by noise or things around me.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say often.
Okay. How often do you leave your seat in meetings or other situations in which you are expected to remain seated?
Oh, in meetings and stuff. I feel like I stay put. I feel like I want to get up, but I think that's another one where I've regulated myself to stay put.
I know I can't do that. Right. Like you want to get up, but you don't.
Right.
So rarely, never? Yeah.
I'd say rarely. I mean, I can't think of a time when I just get up and walk out, especially if there's other people involved, unless it's a moment where I'm currently not talking and, I could take a bathroom break or something.
Well, like in church or something.
Yeah. No, I usually stay put.
That's a good boy.
Stay.
So I'll say never?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, I got a never in there.
You got one. How often do you feel restless or fidgety?
I would say the one above sometimes. What's
often.
Often, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. How often do you have difficulty unwinding and relaxing when you have time to yourself?
Gosh. Unwinding and relaxing. I think when I have time to myself, I do tend to try to come up with something to do. Depending on what they mean by relaxing. Like if they're talking about just sitting there and doing nothing, I can't really do that, but I will, even if it's something like listen to music.
Right. Well, I know that you pretty much keep yourself very busy.
Yeah.
You're in a band. Like you have a lot of outside of like regular work and family stuff. You also, you just do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And you might find that relaxing. I don't know. But yeah. I think the point is it's asking, do you have difficulty like sitting there and watching TV for no reason?
Yeah, I would say I do. I'm always trying to think if there's something else that I should be getting done.
Mm-hmm. So would that be often?
Yes.
All right. How often do you find yourself talking too much when you're in social situations?
Ooh. Actually, on this one, I would say I generally find myself having things to say, and I'm just about to say them, but then somebody else comes in, and so I wind up not talking that much.
You're the guy that everybody cuts off?
Yeah, I'm the guy that waits for a night. I don't want it to sound like I've been waiting to speak, and I jump in as soon as they finish, so I give it a beat, but then in that beat, someone else comes in. I'm like, I lost my chance.
Is that never? Rarely?
Rarely, yes. I mean, sometimes I'll have my rare moments.
When you're in a conversation, how often do you find yourself finishing the sentences of the people you're talking to before they can finish them themselves?
Right. That one's never.
Okay. Two more.
Okay.
How often do you have difficulty waiting your turn in situations when turn taking is required?
I think I got that one. I think I got that one under control. I'm trying to think if I ever had a problem with it as a kid. I would say rarely. I don't really remember. I mean, I can remember being eager if it was a turn to do something really cool, but I don't remember being out of control. Like, I got to do this now. Get out of my way, you crazy kid.
Right.
Like so, succumbing to the earth. Yeah.
So never?
Yeah.
Okay. How often do you interrupt others when they are busy? I guess like your wife. If your wife is busy, do you find yourself interrupting her?
No. So yeah, I would say rarely to never. I mean, I'm sure it happens, but it's not a thing.
So. Okay. All right. So now what we do...
We feed the answers into the amazing computer.
Well, exactly. What the doctor does is they evaluate the presence of these symptoms or similar symptoms in childhood. And adults who have ADHD need not have been formally diagnosed in childhood. In evaluating a patient's history, look for evidence of early appearing and long-standing problems with attention or self-control. Some significant symptoms should have been present in childhood, but not everything. And that's what they, I think it's like looking at your whole, and that's the other thing, you know, like you can have no functional problems. You can have ADHD, but yeah. Maybe a very mild case of, you know,
yeah.
Where, and it doesn't, you designed a life where it doesn't get in the way of anything. Like
right.
you adapt, you adjust, yeah. you adapt. Yeah. I think when people have severe ADHD.
Right. It can be.
Sure. That can be very a different thing, quite the different thing. So then it says, let's see here. So it says, when I'm looking at this, so you're looking for 6 of the 18 questions. Six or more.
Yeah. To be in the always or.
To be in these gray, the sheet has like gray shaded area.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so it looks like, you've got the first 6, 3 are and 3 aren't.
Okay.
And in the next 12, 6 are and 6 aren't.
Ah.
So that's that borderline. I have a friend who was diagnosed with ADHD, but the doctor told her you have borderline, which in everything I've learned, there's no such thing as borderline ADHD. However, it's just, I think, means a mild case of, when you take a screening like this online, let's say, and you're at this level like this, and you're, so I seem to have some qualities, but not all of them.
Right.
Then you have to ask yourself, is it something that is like in the way of my daily functioning?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, only you would know. So it'd be like one of those things where I guess, see, this is interesting. This is exactly why I wanted to do this with you.
When I look at this and think about it in terms of my son and his daily doings, that's where I'm like, I hope at some point he'll become self-aware and learn how to regulate some of this stuff. Because, you know, I know we've talked about this before. He just needs the constant reining in. Mm-hmm. You know, you watch him go from A to B. He'll get stuck at, you know, all points in between. And no, that's not what we're doing. You're supposed to go over there and do that. And then he'll, oh, what's this? And sit down, do this other thing. Alt and text, what are you supposed to be doing? Oh, yeah, right. Okay. And
right. Do you see a lot of yourself when you see him? Or do you think, no, he definitely has like a more than I did when I was a kid?
My first guess is that he has it more than I did. I mean, I don't know if I'm just sugarcoating my own look at myself, but I don't remember being told very often by my parents or anything. I don't remember being set back on track that often. And who knows, maybe I repressed it all.
You're in denial. No.
Yeah. I always get suspicious of my, you know, whenever anyone paints a rosy picture of themselves, it's like, are you just saying that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and yeah, we did talk about this because how old is he?
9, almost 10.
Right. You know, and kids don't, they don't have the luxury of designing their own life.
Right.
You know, he has to go do things that he does not have any interest in.
Right.
He has to do them in ways that he probably doesn't agree with all the time.
Yeah.
And so you can outgrow that environment.
Yeah.
You know, as an adult and design the life the way you want it. You
right. know? Exactly.
And that would be probably a really great hope for him, is that he does engage in his strengths and interests as he gets, the older he gets.
Yeah.
That he won't, you know, well, you suffer if you, you know, if you get a job where you have to be somewhere at 8 o'clock and you can't right. get there by 8 o'clock, well, then it, maybe it's a job that's, maybe that's not the job. Maybe right. there's a job where, you know, a little.
In at noon. Yeah. The third shift is the one.
Well, yeah, you know, or if he likes to work with his hands versus, yeah. you know, if you're in school, it's so tough. You're sitting yeah. there trapped at your desk.
Yeah.
Doing crap. You don't, I wouldn't go back and do school again. You couldn't pay me.
Yeah.
You know, and if, especially if you have a brain that's really like lit up only when it's interested.
Yeah.
And you're getting yelled at.
Right. For everything else. Like, what?
Yeah. Right. It's so, and you don't see this in your daughter?
Not yet. I mean, there's moments, but then it also, she just seems like she's seeing a precocious kid, but she is already writing and reading.
Oh, she's smart. She's in kindergarten?
Yeah, and she's writing all the time. And it's so cute because it's all phonetic, but it's the right idea. You sit there and you read it. Okay, that makes sense. That totally makes, that's how I would spell it too. If
I love that. So weird. I love that when they spell like laughing, L-A-F-F.
Yeah, yes, yes.
You know, it's yeah. like, yeah, you got the idea.
Yep, happy is there. H-A-P-E, because that's happy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, hate. Yeah. No, that's, hate. No, it's happy. Yeah, it actually is happy. Yeah.
You know, she's right.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, hey, you're right. Yeah, it's just, English is so screwed up. You just have to learn all this.
Yeah, exactly. Thing. I love it. Okay, so let me ask. So, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the test?
Yeah,
I'm just gonna
pat
it to you there, Eric.
Well, I feel like it shows that. I mean, I could very well have been within the spectrum, and maybe, hopefully, I don't know how, but I somehow found a way to take control of certain aspects of it.
Right, like strengthen, like externally you've strengthened, like you have the phone with your wife with the calendar, so you have an accountability partner who yeah, kind of...
Yes, there's that.
And you're using the phone, so you're not having to rely on your own memory for everything.
Right, yeah, and you know, as in terms of like the whole hallmark of interrupting people or having to, or just blurting things out of nowhere, which our son also does all the time, but I feel like I've... If that ever was a problem, I feel like I've got that one under control.
Yeah. No, I do think that a lot of it, you know, as you mature, you learn.
Right.
We all learn. Whether you have ADHD or not, you learn.
Yeah, you kind of realize, okay, if I want to be friends with these people, I should probably not do this or I should do that.
Right.
Depending on how important it is to you and how much you can... I imagine that must be the problem for people with extreme cases, to not even be able to rein themselves in or realize that that's a thing. And that's where.
Yeah. I know, like, you know, in my own family, like missing some of those social, like talking until the, my sister said it one time, she was, you know, when you're talking to somebody and their eyes glaze over. And I was like, no, I actually stop talking before we get there. But I didn't, you know, I can empathize that that's like, and if you don't know until you see that, then it makes a lot more sense to me now. You know, after seeing you take this screening test, I understand better like how people get confused, because there are so many shades of gray when it comes to deciding if, you know, if you have any of the symptoms of ADHD. You know, some people think, I do, but I don't. You were in the sometimes
Yeah, yeah.
Rain, but like, is it really a thing? I don't think so, you know? So, yeah. And it's very subjective.
Yep.
Really, you know, especially if you have it mild.
Right.
I imagine it's extremely subjective.
It would also be interesting, I think, to have the same quiz read to people who know me and see what they answer.
And see their answers. Right.
I was like, oh, yeah, he always does that. Don't let him tell you different.
Well, you know, and they do that when they are doctors diagnosing. Mm-hmm. They will get input from...
Oh, right, like from teachers and from...
Teachers or from spouses.
Right.
Or other family members. Yeah, people that know you. They do take that into account. Yeah. So no, I'm perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Oh no, heck no, that's not me, not at all.
yeah. Well, I thank you so much because this was a lot of, I think, insight into how people can think they have it when maybe they don't, or maybe they don't think they have it and they do. And yeah. We didn't really answer any questions here, but it's. But it's been fun to talk about and to think about. So So I will definitely, well, keep me posted if you make any other new discoveries. But it's always fun to talk to you. I'll talk to you later, Eric. Bye.
Bye, Jenny.
So as much fun as I had doing this with Eric today, and I thank him again, I'm very mindful that for people with ADHD, you know, there's a lot of who might be offended when they hear people without ADHD saying, oh, you know, that was so ADD of me. And it's true. I'd like to see that go away. But the only way it can is from us understanding one another better and understanding that sometimes you just don't know. And that's what, you know, you need to go to a doctor and get a really proper diagnosis. So anyway, thank you for joining us again and stay tuned for more episodes. Music provided by podcastthemes.com. And if you enjoyed the show and like to be a sponsor, be sure and check out my Patreon page at patreon.com/CinADHD. There's a lot of fabulous awards and prizes and goodies for helping me keep this show going. That's it for the show, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. And whether you have ADHD yourself, or live with or love someone who does, or both. Remember, we're all in this together, and everybody benefits when we begin to see through the other's eyes.